today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 157, and this week I am talking to Jake, one of our engineers, about his project, which we call ETL. So hey. Say hi, everybody, or hi to everybody, anyway. So it's called ETL, and we should probably start out by describing what exactly ETL means. What does that stand for, Jake?
Yeah, so Tim was the one that let me know about this, and he can take all credit for the name. But ETL is like a programming concept that stands for extract, transform, and load. And basically, you take data from somewhere and you extract it, and then you transform it into other data. And the reason you would do that is to make the data cleaner, easier to access, or whatever. And then you load it in another environment. And so what started as an email system turned into much more than an email system. And that's why, because we needed to kind of go through the extract, transform, load process. And so in addition to being able to do email, it also gives us a lot. It gives us like a beautiful, accessible form of our data that we can do lots of things with. So that's it in a nutshell.
Nice. So I, the entire time you've been working on this project, have thought that the E in ETL would stand for email. So I'm just completely blown away by this new information.
Email transmit to...
I was trying to figure out what the L meant. I was figuring it was email transfer something. And the reason, you know, I made the assumption that it was about email is because what we've done with the ETL project is a complete overhaul of our email system, right?
Yes. That was the whole reason this is a project.
Because in the past, and because when this episode goes out, this really will be the past because ETL is going out. Our email system has been, I mean, honestly, I think it's fair to say it's been fairly rudimentary. We just had two classifications of email, and that created a little bit of confusion in the email lists. And we've had some issues with people, you know, receiving emails when they weren't supposed to, or sometimes not receiving emails they were supposed to. So part of this project, and I know there's a lot more to it than just email delivery and stuff, but part of this was improving that area, right?
Yes. I would argue that was like the reason we did this. And we got a lot of like awesome little add-ons with it, but this was to improve our email capabilities because they have been fairly limited. And there's a lot of bugs that we wouldn't even know about. So this was to improve all of that.
Right. So we have a much better handle on what's going out and how things are getting places. And right away, I mean, I know it's not completely launched yet, but the parts that are out now have already made my life easier because I can see what's going on with email at a much more clear level, and it's very exciting for me. In addition to the email stuff, we also get data, right?
Yes. We wanted to be able to make these templates and to edit them in, through like an admin panel or something, using like Mustache templating or something similar to like just the CodePen editor, where we can easily add like little styles, we can change words on the fly, and we wouldn't have to commit, you know, a change just to the code base just to like change a word around or a sentence around.
Which was a problem because, you know, I would catch a typo and it would be a while before I could get it in, because that's not part of my workflow. So this, this makes it a lot easier for me.
So in order to do that, in order to like be able to kind of render these templates and work in kind of that system, our data needed to be abstracted a little bit, because as CodePen has grown, we've like added things to the code base. Like, for example, CodePen used to only be pens, and then posts were added, and then projects were added. And every time like things got added, collections too, every time those things kind of got added, what would happen is we'd create a new table, and in that table, like the schema of a post would be similar, but a little bit different than pens, and we'd use different naming conventions for the columns. And so what would happen is like on CodePen, we call pens, posts, collections, and projects items. Like that's how we're starting to refer to these things. But the problem is in our database, in the CodePen database, those four tables, those four types of items actually, they have a lot of similar concepts, but they don't have a lot of similar structure. And we structure them all differently. And that's the product of us growing. And so if I want to build a system where you can just like easily template without like needing to know the differences between all the tables and everything, we need to actually take all of those four items types and we need to basically unify them into the idea of a single table and structure it in a singular way. So on ETL, what happens is we extract the pens table, the posts table, the projects table, and the collections table, and we put it all into one beautiful items table that every item has a title. Every item has an identifier that we can throw in the URL. Every item has a link to a user so that we know which user created it. And so we basically built this unified structure on ETL, and that's the new awesome data that we have. And its purpose is so that you can go in to edit like a comment email and just be like item.name and, you know, item.url and not have to worry about what composes a collection URL or a comment URL or a pen URL. You don't have to know any of that. You just need to know that you have a pen and you just type URL and it'll automatically take care of that for you. Does that make sense? Like
totally. Yeah.
And so it's great because when you have beautiful data, you can access that data more efficiently than when it was a mess. So I can just like if we wanted to know, for example, like what is like, what is the frequency? If we want to like spit out a chart for like pens, posts, collections, projects, pen comments, post comments, and project comments, if we want to like spit out a chart that shows how they've been created over the years on CodePen, like with frequency, like every month, this many pens, every month, this many posts, if we wanted to do that on our CodePen database, what would happen is we would have to write a ton of code just to build those charts. But on ETL, all I have to do is just write the code that grabs items out of a singular table and then just, you know, it basically turns seven different like chunks of code to generate charts into one chunk of code to generate charts. Nice. And so there's just tons of potential in that, you know, like if we ever wanted a public API, that's possible through this, whereas it's pretty impossible with our existing CodePen data. So it's
and it stuff gives us like kind that. Of like a heartbeat of what's happening in CodePen. Yes. We can yes. get a feel for what type of content is being made and how people right. are using the app, which is, I mean, it's pretty wild when you consider that most of this comes from we wanted to populate good email.
Right, exactly.
And now we have, not only do we have the ability to populate this great email, we can also learn so much about what's happening in CodePen.
Exactly. You know,
two yeah. different fruits of the same project. Super yeah, great.
I like after work, if I'm like really feeling it, I'll just like hop in and like play with that data and like build a view for that data. Just like for fun, because it's like, it's so refreshing to have this kind of access to our information. Like, it doesn't need to be a week-long project to do something anymore. It can be like in an hour, I can, you know, write a quick little algorithm to, just generate data for a user about how are they more active or less active on CodePen than they've previously been. I can make that now, like in a moment, you know.
One thing that I've enjoyed a lot about it is that I'll ask you something that I have a hunch about, and then you go and find all the information for me, and then I see that my hunch is totally wrong.
Yeah, totally.
Like every time. I love to be able to just like investigate something like that. You know, you have an idea about, oh, you know, it sure feels like this is not happening, or this is happening a lot. And then you go and look, and it's like, no, it's not, or it is. When I try to go with my gut there, it's almost always wrong.
You're living in a bubble, Marie.
What are you going to do?
No, same thing happens to me.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things that's interesting about working now is that a lot of the time in the past, like, you kind of just did have to go on hunches. This type of data just wasn't available, you know?
Exactly. And,
being able to thoroughly investigate how people are using the product and how the community at large is working, it's just like, this is a game changer for us, you know? And it's more than just email, so it's super exciting. So this has been a project that has taken the bulk of your work time for like nearly a year, right? It's like 8 months about.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my time at Code, it would have been like October 2016 that I started.
No, 2015.
Or 2015.
Yeah.
Since then, I feel like I've worked on two projects.
That's not true though.
I know. I've worked on a lot of different things, but 90% of my time, no, not 90, 80% of my time has been split between two things.
We should look at the data because I think our 100.
Yeah, we should. Turns out it's like 2%. And this is one of them. Yeah, it's been like at least 8 months that I've been working on this project.
And prior to that, you were working on the payments rewrite, which was also a lengthy project. That's part of the reason why you haven't been on the show much, man.
Yeah.
There's just been so many long-term projects that, you know, aren't quite as front-end facing as some of the other things we work on. So it's nice to have you back on the show, actually.
Yeah. It is. That's actually been something with this project in particular. It's interesting because I feel like I've totally disengaged from the world of CodePen on it. Because, you know, like when I was helping out on the project editor, I was like actively interested in like how users are using it and how users will be using it and constantly asking those sorts of questions. And it's like with a project like this, it's literally our users won't touch it, but our users will be highly impacted by it because it's giving us the ability to send like more meaningful email, more appropriate email. Like we're going to be able to like help show our users how to use our app and all this stuff. But all the work that it takes to like make that happen, like I'm not interfacing with any sort of user stuff. And so it's kind of been a little bit of a black hole, but It's been fun. Like I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I was saying to you before the show, just when we were kind of talking out the topics for this episode, that I almost envy it because, you know, and I know that it's a little bit solitary because you're working, you know, by yourself or just with Tim a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I kind of am a little envious because to be able to work on one thing and just that for a while is like kind of appealing when you come from support, which changes, you know, from minute to minute, basically. This episode is sponsored by Pork Bun, where you can get website domain names for your business or personal brand with low prices and amazing free services. You've probably already seen a friend using .design instead of .com for their website domain. For example, johnsmith.design or nonfiction.design. Or maybe you've noticed Facebook. They're using the site facebook.design to highlight their design content. Want a .design domain for yourself? Well, right now, Porkbun is offering .design domain names completely free for the first year. That's right, you get a year free. So head on over to porkbun.com now, and you can use the coupon code CODEPEN at checkout, and you'll get a free year of your .design domain name. That comes with email hosting, Whois privacy, and SSL certificates. That's a lot for free. So go to porkbun.com, that's PORKBUN.com, and you can use the coupon code CODEPEN at checkout. So, like, all of this, you know, the development process of it, prior to that, you had to have designed this somehow, mm-hmm. right? Like, I didn't get to see the spreadsheets this time, but I know there must have been spreadsheets, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of Google charts. We've actually... I used to use this thing called Lucidchart, which like allows you to draw diagrams and stuff. And mm-hmm. but Google Charts has come along and it's like a good enough replacement where and it's more integrated than the Lucidchart software. So like, yeah, it's literally like Google Sheets and then Google Charts or Google Drawings is I think what they call them. But yeah, there was a lot of design like. App design that like went into this, it was constantly changing. Like that's the other big thing is that like the way that the system works has kind of been, you know, until like the past three or four months, like it was never really set in stone. And so there was a lot of like assumptions that we were making and that we needed to go back on and all of that. And so I have like a history of all of these like drawings of like different forms of ETL before we landed here.
One thing that I always think is so impressive about the forms that you've done, the Google drawings and all of that, is that you really have a very good way of visually representing concepts that would completely go over my head if they were not shown to me in that way. Like, actually, we talked about this last time you were on when you were visualizing the traveling salesman. Like,
right.
The way that you have a talent for applying design to something that, honestly, I think a lot of the time people don't consider a design element in at
right.
all.
Right. That, you know? And that's because, like, I am a technical person, but I am not a technical learner. Like basically if I couldn't do this the way I do it, I would not be able to understand it myself. And so I'm very much a visual learner. So like the only way I've gotten anywhere and the only way I've learned anything is by making this happen. And I guess if you're forced to do it, you're going to do it a lot and you do it a lot and you get better at it. And yeah, but
yeah, I mean, I've seen you like make a spreadsheet to explain how a back-end development process works. And I'm like, oh, actually, I understand this now, which right. is to me very surprising because, you know, my entire development life was 100% in the front end, you know, like CSS, which yeah. is, you know, you're not thinking about data structures when you're doing that. So it's really cool to see this kind of like designy aspect, visual design aspect that's applied to backend development. It's very, very intriguing to me.
I wouldn't have a job if I couldn't do it because I would not be able to understand ETL if I could not do that.
Well, I don't know, man. You've got talents.
Okay.
So one of the other things that's worth bringing up about ETL is that it's, well, we kind of talked about this at the very beginning, but it's going to improve how our members receive email from us. It's going to make sure that the email that they get is relevant, and it's mm-hmm. going to make it easier to kind of categorize the type of email that they receive. Right now, we have, you know, a concept in email that we have to work with is transactional and non-transactional email. Mm-hmm. And transactional is email about the account, right?
Yeah, it's actually like a mail concept, because there's basically a transactional email can't be unsubscribed from. And so it's the sender's responsibility to not abuse that power. And right. if they do, like if you're sending like a weekly update email, and you're labeling it as transactional, and you get like reported as spam or whatever, like that you're abusing that.
Right. So transactional then is for like your password reset and like receipts and things like that, right? Yes.
Things that we need to send you and things that you shouldn't be upset that we're sending you.
know, right. Like, because generally you'd expect to receive anything that we'd classify as transactional. So
no one's going to be like, oh, you charged me how much I signed up for. I don't need to know about this.
You
know,
right. Like, or you sent me my password reset email. like you kind of need it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's the purpose of transactional.
So then non-transactional is everything else, right? Yep. It's just a bucket for any other email you might be sending.
Right.
And so prior to this, we just had things classified as transactional and non-transactional. And we only classified things that were truly transactional as such, you know. Right. But everything else was, and emails of all sorts that we send that are not transactional were all in the same bucket. So this gives us, ETL gives us the ability to divide up the non-transactional emails into more categories, right?
Yes. And so what that means is you can, like, up until now, we used to have, like, user receive email on comment, user receive email on love, user receive email on, and we had all these individual settings for when they wanted to, when a user wants an email, and it was like 8 or whatever. But the problem was that if a user unsubscribed from any of those, they unsubscribed from all of them.
Right.
And so like we had these problems where like if they unsubscribed in a particular way, the service we use, SparkPost, that's what we use to actually send the email and manage sending the email. If a user unsubscribed, SparkPost would be like, okay, they unsubscribed. They're now on a suppression list. We'll never send an email to them ever again until you remove them from the suppression list. And our system was not doing that. So if you unsubscribed from one, you were unsubscribing from like all,
right,
except for transactional. And so now what we have is we have 4 classifications of email. We have community, we have education, we have personal, and we have product. So community is like the weekly update, the Spark, any email that would like be about here's what's happening in the community. And so you can unsubscribe or subscribe from that. Education would be like our drip campaigns after sign up. So like we'll occasionally send you educational emails like, hey, do you know that you can like, you know, do this? Hey, did you know you can write a post on CodePen? Do you know that collections exist? Here's a GIF and like a paragraph. And then, so that's educational. Personal is like notifications about like loves, comments, whatever, that sort of thing. Like social activity would be personal. And then product would be like feature announcements. Like, hey, we released projects. Just so you know, this is a big deal. and so now all 4 of those will have their own suppression lists. You'll have the ability to unsubscribe from all 4 of those things individually. And it gives us a lot more fine-grained control over that. And maybe we'll have a reason to add another classification, but those 4 pretty much span the gamut.
What's great about ETL is it gives us that flexibility, right?
Yes.
If we do have another category we want to add in the future, we'd be able to do that.
Yes.
And I love this because it makes it so that people can really, you know, we have fine-grained control over what we're calling these emails, but people also have control on their end of what they're getting. So they can really narrow down to exactly what they really want to receive from us, which I think just makes it a much more friendly email experience for everybody.
Yes.
You know, overall, people, you know, I've been very pleased to see how much people like to get our email. You know, overall, we don't get a ton of you know, anger over our emails. People are pretty happy about them. But it's really great to be able to give a give people like a choice of like, you tell us what you want to get and we're just going to send you that. And because we've been a little bit hesitant to send out new emails because we're like, well, we don't want to just be, you know, fire hosing people with all these emails. You know, we want to give them stuff that they want to read.
Right.
So this kind of frees up some of our creative ideas because we can make them happen and know that we're not bothering people with them. So that's super great.
Yeah. Going along with that, like one other thing that ETL gives us, like with this new data or this new look at our data, you know, up until now, we've kind of like, we've had some weird bugs like, oh, we're not sending emails on every time someone gets a comment on their post. It's only happening sometimes. And we're like, why is that happening? And there's like a bug because what we need to do is we need to delay it. And so we're delaying and we're just making sure that we don't send too many emails. Like if a user comments, deletes the comment, creates a new comment, that they don't get two emails, one for a deleted comment and then one for a new comment, right? So we would like have these delays in our code to like prevent that from happening. And the logic wasn't entirely sound. And we get into all of these weird specific scenarios. Well, what we're going to be doing, and maybe by the time this comes out, we'll have it in, is we'll have the ability to, instead of just like waiting like that, what we're going to do is we are going to we're going to basically query and be like, what are all the comments that this person has received in the past, you know, 6 hours? And we send a single email containing data for all 6 comments so that you don't need to get a single email per comment. And, you know, like, we don't necessarily treat an email like a notification thing. It's more like, hey, these 6 people commented on your stuff. Here's a link to those comments, you know, and it's less annoying. It puts more value on subscribing to that as opposed to someone being like, I don't want to get a comment every day, you know, or I don't want to get an email every day about a comment or every hour about a comment or whatever, you know.
Well, like, especially once something hits the homepage, you could be getting all kinds of comments.
Totally. Or loves, you know, it would allow us to like group those events into a single email instead of sending out an email every day or every hour, you know, about each thing. So it gives us flexibility there too, to just send better quality email.
And that's a great and exciting part of this, is that we're going to make this email much more valuable to our members to open up. And I love that because, you know, people get annoyed by email. So it's a difficult balance. And I think that this enables us to really bring the value with the emails. And if you don't want them, you just don't get them.
And no big deal.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have a lot more to talk about because there's a lot to ETL, but that I think is a fair introduction to the subject. And then next week we're going to talk about it some more.
Yay.
Yes. I'm glad to have you back on the show again, Jake. Thanks for coming
on. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks. Yeah.
And thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
Marie, can we just stop for a second? I need to turn off this heater. I'm going to keep recording and I'm going to turn off the heater. And we can leave this in the podcast.